Last week, Pastor Don spoke about the need to continue on in the faith. And today we're going to look at a man who, frankly, didn't do that. His name was Uzziah, and one thing we must all keep in mind on this particular day is that none of us are immune to sin. In fact, you probably have heard 1 Peter 5:8, where Scripture says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Did you ever think about it that way? That the devil is trying to devour you. He is trying to destroy you. His one hope, his one mission is to destroy anything that is of God. Friends, if you are here today and you are of God, the devil is seeking to devour you today. If you are here, and today is the day that you know that you need to step out, you need to be of God, you need to make a step in faith and come and be a child of His, then the devil is seeking with all of his self to stop that. Everything he's telling you, every little thing he's putting in your mind, he's trying to stop it. And there's some very real biblical application as to why this is so and how this takes place. For the sake of today's message, we're going to be splitting our scripture into half because there's really two parts to this story. There's the part of Uzziah as he followed God. His eyes were upon God. And then there are his downfalls, his backslide, the moment he took his eyes off of God. But if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning, and we're going to start in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, starting in verse 3. It says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the walls of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal. And the Mehunims and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Messiah, the ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts shields and spears and helmets, and habergeons, and bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow before you, Father, today I pray for each one of us that we are reminded that our strength is not in of ourselves. Father, our strength is only in among you. and Father, what you choose to bless upon us. And Father, I pray today that for each and every one of us, we know the truth that the devil is, he's seeking to devour. He's seeking to destroy. But Father, today there is hope in your grace when we seek to allow you to come into our heart and to rule over us. Father, when we, as Uzziah once did, put our eyes upon you, and Father, we keep them there. Father, I pray today that your hand would be upon your people on this day. Would your spirit move in this place? And we say these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So the scripture brings us to our first point this morning, and that is a life of obedience. What does a life of obedience look like to you? You see, Uzziah began his reign at 16 years old, and scripture teaches us that his eyes were upon the Lord. His life is an example of how God often can work in a man or in a woman who is completely focused on God. In his life of faithfulness, he saw a lot of success. You heard it in the scripture there. He built cities and conquered many of the city-states of his day, and he built great towers and had large herds of animals. He had an army that was one of the most powerful of its day. In fact, scripture teaches that the army was of 307,500 people, and it appears as though they could have waged war with anybody and won. All of this and more created something in Uzziah. He was a famous man, friends. He was one that today we may would look at, and he would be a household name. We would all know Uzziah, the king. Everyone knew about him. They knew of the accomplishments. They knew of the things that God had done through him. And he had seen many great things in his life. But a life of obedience for you may not look like Uzziah's, but it will have similarities. And what I mean by that is when our eyes are upon God, we know that he is faithful to us. He was faithful to Uzziah. And friends, he'll be faithful to each and every one of us when our eyes are on him. We need to each ask the question as to whether or not our eyes are pointed in the right direction to start with. You know, Uzziah, his eyes were there for a stage, but as we're going to learn later on, they didn't stay there. And the truth about the devil is that he has convinced a lot of us that we are living in obedience when we really aren't. He has convinced a lot of us that we are going to heaven when we're really not, because we are not living a life of that pleases God. Our eyes are not upon God. You know, for some of us, we could relate it in this way. I don't know how many times I've said this to you guys, but I know I've said it before, and I don't know if I ever told you a story, but one time my mother-in-law and I were talking, and she made the statement that in every lie there's a kernel of truth. She just made that statement, and I got to thinking about that. You know, the reality of that truth is that a lot of times when there's a lie, there is a little bit of truth in that. An example of that, as I got to thinking, could be a couple who just can't seem to get along. The devil may use a kernel of truth amongst many lies to create a situation which one would fall to infidelity. He may say, he or she doesn't love you. He may say, she does this wrong or he does that wrong. And he may create these little kernels. Some of it may be true. And he'll drop those little truths in there. And in those truths, what will begin to happen is, he will say, you should do this because he or she did that. That's the reality of how the devil acts in his temptation. He doesn't make it as obvious as you may think. A lot of times he sneaks little truths in. He sneaks little kernels of thoughts and things that will spark more. And when the reality is that perhaps sin had entered into a situation, maybe there was something going on in the situation I mentioned that was causing the arguments in amongst the couple. But that in and of itself, even the truths that may be spoken, are not enough to break the marriage vow. In the same way, it could be said for any sin, friends. It could be said for the sin of telling a lie ourself. The devil may convince you that you have to lie to get out of a situation. How else? There's no other way out. Well, that's not necessarily wrong. There probably isn't any other way out. But sometimes we just have to take our lumps. And it doesn't always feel good. The devil will put those little truths in there, though, to try to get you to fall deeper into sin. And the question is whether or not your eyes are upon God or whether or not they're focused on the world. Are you going to fall deeper in? When the reality is that this sin is entered in, perhaps we are not as focused on God as we once thought we may be, and we continue to fall deeper, and we are in and amongst the backslide at that point, friends. Uzziah had that problem. He was once focused on God. But there came a day that he let his pride get in the way, and that was Uzziah's fall. Now let's see the fate here in the rest of the scripture for today. I'll let you sit for this one, but we'll read God's word here starting in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. God's word says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests the son of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wrath and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Ye himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land." Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, "He is a leper," and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Uzziah was a man who once was focused on God, friends. The scripture showed us his eyes were upon God. With the scripture's clear truth, we know that he was a man who saw many blessings in his life because his eyes was in the right place. And you know, God's grace is powerful. God's grace is merciful. And he cares for us in love that could be unmatched. But just as we've heard today, we've heard last week, the reality of this truth of Uzziah is that he did not continue. He backslid. And the question, friends, is, are you continuing in the faith today? He became prideful in his own power. Think of, just for a moment, what he must have been thinking. Look at these great armies that I have. Look what I've done. Look at these many animals that I possess. Look what I've done. Look at these city-states that I've conquered. Look what I have done. And he made it all about him. And he took his eyes off of God. And he became prideful. And as he became prideful, his life began to fall apart. He lost himself in the temple that day as leprosy broke out. and the pride tore all that God had blessed him with down. The devil had convinced him that he deserved what he had, that he had accomplished it. The truth is, that was likely what I thought Uzziah was thinking. I've labored tirelessly. I'm sure he worked hard for the things that had happened and the blessings that had taken place. I don't believe that Uzziah laid around and it just happened. But in his work, he made it all about him. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. And this isn't to say that what he had accomplished wasn't realistic, but it wasn't possible without God. And he had completely took that part out when pride began to take hold. When sin enters in, often we take our eyes off of God, our focus becomes off of him, and the backslide begins. And I have to imagine that he believed that he was the one who had earned all of his accomplishments. But the reality is that his accomplishments were only possible with a God who was willing to be merciful and graceful and give him the many blessings upon his life in which he had received. Church, have you ever seen someone who has a tendency to stand in their own pride, head held high, look what I did, look what I accomplished? That's dangerous ground. Folks like that just think that they are something special, and they really aren't at all. You see, Uzziah was prideful, and he'd missed his warning. In verse 18, he got a warning. The Bible said, "And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense." Now listen to this. They told him, they said, "Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." He missed his warning. He was warned, you got to go. This isn't in God's honor. You got to go. The warning was simple. This isn't where you need to be. You need to leave. But he just couldn't do it, could he? And his pride wouldn't let him. He'd taken his eyes off God, and pride stepped in. And despite once the eyes upon God, the many blessings that he had received, he just couldn't do it. And he began to get angry with the priests in the temple, and the leprosy broke out on his forehead. You know, I know most of you have heard about leprosy. Well, leprosy in Bible times meant that he was outcast. Some people may get by with this act of pride on occasion, but without repentance, God's wrath will eventually show itself. The same can be said for whatever sin may be dwelling in your life today. Whatever sin may be standing in the way to keep your eyes off of God, the devil, whatever the devil may be using, God's wrath will eventually show itself. You see, after the pride of Uzziah came his downfall, and Uzziah's backslide simply took place because he removed his eyes from God, and he began to allow the devil to get a foothold on his life. He just got a little here, and a little there, and a little there. He didn't get it all at once. I'm certain in your life, if you find yourself living in sin, he's not got there all at once. He's done it a little at a time. He's told you a little lie with a little truth. A little lie with a little truth until he eventually gets you to all the lie. Did you know that every single time that you are partaking in that sin, you allow Satan himself to get a little bit more of a foothold on your life? You're allowing Satan himself to begin to devour you, to begin to conquer you, to begin to do everything that Scripture says that he will try to do. Charles Spurgeon said in his sermon, which was entitled, "Hope for the Worst Backslider." This is his quote. It says, "Sin is quite sure to cause sorrow, and the longer the sorrow is delayed, the heavier it will be when it comes. This ship may be long at sea, but it will come home at last with a terrible cargo. Guys, it isn't just one more time. It's got consequences. It isn't just no big deal. And certainly God's grace is great. It's magnificent. It's wonderful. And everything that He has done in and amongst our lives, I don't want to take any of that for granted today. But if we're living in sin, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking it for granted. We must continue in the faith. And sin builds on itself. And wrath will eventually come, just like for Uzziah. God will not tolerate forever. And be it wrath when you're no longer on this earth, or be it wrath here, His wrath will eventually come. And you have to decide today, is your eyes upon God? Or are there sin? Is there things that are keeping you from Him? Friends, what if today is a day in which God is convicting you because perhaps you've been backsliding? You have allowed the devil to have a foothold on your life. But friends, there is this. There's the hope of God's grace. Friends, as we spoke of earlier, God's grace will not be mocked. But if God's Holy Spirit is revealing to you sin in your life today, He's given you an opportunity. He's giving you an opportunity to make a change in your life for the better. To begin to put your eyes on Him. To begin to follow Him. In Hosea chapter 14, verse 4, Scripture says this: I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from Him. Friends, this is Yahweh's response to Israel's repentance. And I feel like today that if the Holy Spirit is convicting you on this day, and if you repent, our response would be the same. If you were to repent of the sin that He is convicting you of today, I feel the same response would be, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away. If He has you here today, and His Spirit is revealing to you such truth, it is of His desire that you repent, and it is of Satan's that you do not. And as the Holy Spirit draws you today, today is the day in which you need to call upon the name of the Lord, confess your sins, and turn away from them. You know, I was doing Christian Club at the middle school this week, and I enjoyed something that the lady that's in charge of it does with the kids. We were talking about repenting. And I said, guys, what's repenting? And they kind of looked. And then she said, what is it? We've talked about it. And they all went, turn away. Like that with their hand. Because it's turn away from the sin. Not to live in the sin. It's not to live in it. It's through God's grace that we will find that truth and that repentance and have the ability to turn away today. And to live a life of obedience to Him. But friends, can we get over our own pride? Can we get over our own sin? Can we get over the boundaries that the devil has placed in our life? Can we take that first step and turn it over to God today? Because we can begin a life of obedience on this day. It's just a matter of if not we want to focus on God or if we want to focus on the world. Would you bow with me? Father, as we bow before You on this day, Father, I thank You for Father, Your endless grace today that has been so sufficient in the many sins that have been committed by mankind over the years and the ability for us to come forward and say, I repent. But Father, on this day, that calls for an act of obedience. Father, that you have allowed us an opportunity in which none other could see but mankind. That you have given your own life so that we may know what eternal life looks like. So that we may know what living for you looks like. And Father, I pray today for each and every one of us here that, Father, the sins that have taken our eyes off of you, the things that have taken us away from your grace. Father, would we remove those things from our life? Father, would we turn away on this day? And Father, as Brother Marty comes in just a moment, Father, I pray that for each and every one of us, we would be obedient and we would listen to the call that you have laid before us. Father, would we not be like Uzziah? Would we not be prideful? Would we not get in our own way? And would we take the warning that you're giving us on this day? And I say these things in your holy name. Amen.